Oh, wait.
Welcome, I'm just gonna make a few short announcements, okay, if I could talk better, it'd be good, about what's coming up. So, as Lama talked about a little bit earlier, we have a fantastic class happening on Monday nights right now. There's 2 weeks left. Sunil Joseph is our teacher on compassionate communication. If you are ready to have your heart opened wide and learn how to relate to people in a different way, I can tell you that even after only these two classes, my relationships are different in my life because of the way I respond to people. I noticed it right away. It immediately changed my thinking in a beautiful, beautiful way. So I strongly encourage that class. Oh, wrong way. 10-minute break again. See ya. Winston. Winston McCullough. Dr. Winston McCullough is one of the leaders in positive psychology. He's also been a practicing Buddhist for a very long time. He is incredibly wise and is coming at the beginning of June to share his wisdom with us right here in this room. It's a Saturday and Sunday. They're all-day events, and you will love it, and they're always packed. So get here early, and that's all about that.
And it's a good one to bring friends to who are kind of interested in Buddhism, interested in positive psychology, interested in science of mind, all those kind of things.
And on Wednesday nights, boy, we have an incredible opportunity. This is such a rare and special thing to have someone in our community that is dedicated to teaching the basics, starting at the beginning. And Heather, our lovely Miss Heather here, started teaching these courses with course one. It's an 18-course series. She's kind of, Karma's what, 5 or something? You can start at any time. You can come at any day, even if you just showed up once. I mean, it's always relevant and interesting. Yet it's a really beautiful way of looking a little bit deeper into the teachings, and it's such an incredibly rare opportunity to have someone offer these teachings in the community. And they're right here on Wednesday nights from 6:30 to 8:30. If you choose to, there's homework that you could do to really solidify the principles in your mind. And what I found when I went through that course, the 18 courses, I mean, number one, it blew my mind, but it really changed me as a person. I'm quieter, believe it or not, than I was like before. Way calmer, way less angry. And I cannot tell you the comfort that comes when something bad happens and I immediately celebrate that karma's gone instead of dwelling in the negativity. And that came from taking these courses. So I would highly encourage anyone who truly feels a calling to this and who might want to go deeper into the study to really come sit in on Heather's courses and hear what's going on and allow yourself the joy of growing that way. Here's another way to grow beautifully. On the third Friday of every month, a small group led by our lovely Ms. Dasha goes to Loaves and Fishes and serves breakfast to those who might not otherwise have an opportunity to get it. It's an incredible experience to literally hand someone food and see the gratitude in their eyes and feel the gratitude that comes from you at being able to give it to them. Unfortunately for you, all of the serving spots are taken on Friday, I believe. However, that doesn't mean that you can't still participate. We always need food. And it's so simple to do. Cheese sticks, granola bars, boiled eggs. Dasha's home that has this beautiful space. You can show up at 3:00 in the morning, open the door, put it on the stairs, and walk out. So it's really easy. Thursday night, this Thursday, isn't it this week? Thursday night, you would deliver them to her home. Or you could bring them in the morning to Loaves and Fishes and drop them off with us. And who knows, maybe you get to stay and help serve. You never know what Dasha would do with that. But it feels so good to do. And so I hope that you will consider it, and I know that, you know, Dasha's around, and I think there's something on our website or on her Facebook page, so if you need more information or where the drop-off address is or something, you can get the information there. Thursday nights, oh my God, I'm so excited about all of this. David's here too. Thursday nights, beginning June 1st, David Drabel will be hosting a community meditation here, and I don't know what it's going to look like. Do you know what it's going to look like?
I do, but you could be surprised.
I'm going to basically... I'm going to be surprised.
Because our mind is full of surprises.
It'll be grounded in the Gelugpa lineage of Tibetan Buddhism and primarily revolving around analytical meditation and placement. And then, but a lot of the idea is that we come, we sit together, there'll be kind of a movement or a theme that'll go through, but a lot of it will be guided then by where people's minds are at and where you want to go. And so it will be, you know, if you're an experienced practitioner, it's very nice to have the group to sit with. And if you're brand new, then I think it'll be a lot of fun because we're all struggling beginners, and so you can realize that it's awesome to just sit with a group of people and all be equally confused together.
Nice. Thank you.
And the New Year's retreat. We announced this for the first time last week, starting in 2012, at least that I'm aware of. I don't remember if she did them before that. But starting in 2012, Lama started giving us an incredible opportunity to spend the transitional space between the very end of the year as we go into our new year on the Gregorian calendar, something that we often see as a milestone, right? That we would have an opportunity to go through that transitional period while in retreat, while in beautiful silence, while listening to the teachings, in a lovely mountain setting right up in Grass Valley. We enter retreat on December 28th, and we come out on January 1st. It's a 5-day retreat. Although all of the teachings are free, because we have to rent a space and there's food involved, we have a chef that cooks for us, simple meals, but still someone else prepares them so we can just focus on the retreat, there is a cost. It'll be $500 per person. There are some scholarships available if that's more than you can afford, but would like to come, so we won't turn anyone away who really deeply wants to come. We will have more information probably in the next week or so about how to sign up and all that, but we wanted to start getting the word out now. And I can just tell you that for me, it's the best way I've ever spent New Year's. I've done it every year for the past few years, except for this last one, because I had a family member that was very ill and leaving was not an option. But it's a really beautiful way to bring in, literally ring in the New Year while you're chanting with your Sangha mates. In the cold, in a jacket, just not even feeling it.
Around a fire, right?
Because it's the most magical experience, because you've been in silence for all of these days, and then there's just this chanting and this bell ring. It's a beautiful way to bring it in here.
What's the capacity?
25 people total. We'll fill the place up. Well, 24, because we have 10 signed up so far. So there's maybe 14 spots left, and the only reason there's some people already signed up is because we've been dealing with some people get funded in it, you know, to try to get the deposit up so we don't put a burden on the Sangha, right? So that's why some people know that are kind of in advance that are helping. The planning team basically is already signed up, but there are like 14 spots still available, and feel free to sign on up. It's going to be a great 5 days.
And it's like a double, right?
Anybody.
If you know someone who's interested.
Yeah, who wants to come, please bring them. And that's the end of those, right? So the last thing I want to say is, and I think everybody here's already heard this, we're an all-volunteer organization. There are some bowls at the back to help keep the lights on and to help provide some sort of support for the teachers that do come. And there are a few flyers at the back of the room, so if you have a space at work and you feel it's appropriate to put up a little flyer to let other people know about our classes, that would be really lovely.
Thanks.
And
thank you very much. And just... along those lines, I want to say, there really is this human thing when you come into a new group and you feel like everyone else has been here at least years ahead of you, and you don't realize the person sitting next to you came in 5 minutes before you did. So don't be shy, because really we're not like a big closed membership group. Whoever comes in and creates community here together, and that, like everything we just learned, is a changing thing. So what we do have is we have some committees that just take care of things, and so if you're moved and want to get more involved and hang out with people that are kind of in alignment with the same intention or exploring this path or this material, or just the support of hanging out and talking to people about how your life is going from this vantage point, which is really a special, precious thing. Lauren is the head of the Facebook, PR, social media, everything in that realm, And she's pretty much doing it single-handedly, so I'm sure she'd love it if someone jumped in and helped her out. Jeremy is our finances person, and I'm not sure if you need help, but I know you're out there all doing so much of it alone. So if you happen to be a closet financial whiz.
Or a website programmer. Or website programmer.
Website programmer. Website person and facilities, Heather. And so we do actually always need someone to work on websites and keep our social media website thing up. That seems to be like a full-time job these days. I mean, whoa. That's amazing. And then, and the other thing that we haven't gone off the ground is fundraising for things like scholarships so that we can offer more scholarships. So if anyone really has a passion for fundraising, talk to Jeremy.
Yes.
And Dasha will really thank you, because then I'll let her off the hook. And then for programming, which is really, as you can tell, like we invite teachers, we have this blessing, this amazing, rich community to draw from, which is just extraordinary. And so if you're interested in kind of helping create community programming and what you want to see next, and be in touch with the teachers and reaching out and all that, you could talk with Jay. Jay, can you raise your hand? All right. So, now we've gone through two. The third noble truth, Arya truth, is this is the golden Buddha story, right? This is the whole point of it. The Buddha looked at us, the Buddha looked at the human condition and said, wow, you guys don't realize it, but you have this potential, right? Everyone has this potential to become a fully awakened being. So how many of you have heard this word enlightenment? How many have any idea what it actually means? All right. I like the way everyone's tentatively waving So what does it mean?
To see the world in the right way.
But what does that mean?
To understand that everything that I experience in my life is born out of my past actions and has nothing to do with the person sitting right in front of me. The fact that the stove turns on has nothing to do with the gas that's coming through. It has everything to do with the karma that I have and whether or not I have the karma for the stove to turn on now.
That sounds like wisdom. I'm not sure if it sounds like enlightenment. Uh-huh. I'm giving the some of these people I know pretty well. I think they're a little bit of a hard time.
Is it the end of suffering?
The end of suffering. Yeah.
So waking up out of suffering.
Waking up out of suffering. For sure. That's a huge component of it. Yeah. The actual waking up out of suffering. And anyone want to add to that, build on that? Because the waking up out of suffering, the end of suffering, is actually called
Nirvana.
What was that?
Nirvana.
Nirvana, yeah. The ending of suffering is actually called Nirvana, right? It's not yet full enlightenment. It's the cessation of our suffering, which is really cool to recognize, because one of the things we recognize is that this is all about having a spiritual path and growing our spiritual life and really seeing that is what makes our life worth living, gives it the meaning that is worth living. So because it brings us happiness, it brings us connection, it brings us all the things we actually want but don't know how to get. So what is the difference between nirvana and I like this word awakening rather than enlightenment, because enlightenment is this English word that is not a translation out of the Sanskrit or the Pali. It was a Western idea of the enlightenment, right, was put onto that word of awakening, of bodhi.
kind of combine with bodhicitta, where you have sort of an end to suffering, but then that you also combine that with the fact that you don't want to be the only one there.
Right.
And you want everyone to be there with you.
So, exactly. So you can, it's not enough for you to end your own suffering. You want to help everybody else get out of suffering. So that's a key to Tibetan Buddhism versus a lot of some of the other Buddhisms, which is this idea that I'm not content, I'm not going to be happy to just stop my own suffering because I can see that everyone else is suffering. That mustard seed story really got to me, and I got to see everybody happy. So when you have awakening with this bodhicitta, what's the difference between that and nirvana? Like experientially, what happens in your mind that doesn't happen otherwise? What's the difference in your experience as the person who's experiencing it?
You see everything as pure, or I guess you're able to fully show up for other people in a way that you're not able to now.
Right. What happens is, well done, that you get a different type of experience of the world. You get a certain cities or spiritual powers, and one of them is where you can, it's called omniscience, but omniscience isn't actually, I know everything that's happening in the world at every moment. We don't know, maybe it is that, but the important part of the omniscience is that I can see everybody in this room and what's in their heart and what's going to help them. So what you get in your own experience is an ability of complete and utter empathy and insight into people, into their past causes and conditions, into their, what did we call that, their stuff when we did the emotional timeline.
The database.
Their database, their emotional database. Thank you. I should know that. Thank you. Whoops. Thanks for you. And so what you get is your experience is you have so much love for other beings, so much compassion, that out of that pours this kind of spontaneous ability to really serve people in the way that's going to most benefit. So what happened was the Buddha saw that we have this potential, each one of us, within us to end our suffering, first of all. Which, by the way, is not a shabby thing. We don't say we don't want to do that. We're just saying in the Tibetan Buddhist path, we don't end the path there. We keep going. And so he saw that this potential is untapped and unused. And that's why he came, what takes us to the fourth truth. But this one is just this idea that we can change, we can transform, we can experience the release from the normal schmucky life. And the Buddha said, why did I start teaching when I was asked to teach? He said, it came to me that I should teach this truth, for it is real happiness and joy. Because the cessation of suffering is possible. And so I want to go out on a limb here because this is going to be different than you'll hear in a lot of places. When we get to, jump ahead here, Tibetan Buddhism is a lot about wisdom and compassion, all right? So what happens when we practice wisdom and compassion, when we practice and walk the path that we're about to talk about? We grow our understanding, we grow our compassion, and we get tools, we get these things we're talking about that help relieve our suffering right now in our daily life in these little ways that are really hurting us, harming us, bothering us, that cause us to hurt and harm other people, that give us the heartbreak and the loss and just the sense of being overwhelmed and overstressed. And we need tools for that, okay? Absolutely. And what the Buddha said is by walking this path, by studying this way, by practicing these things that we're getting, what will happen is we will meet these goals of relief from our suffering and our worldly life as it is now. And then it also takes us to this
ultimate ability, this ability to actually stop our suffering altogether and then to help other people stop theirs. So I love it because it's the biggest, most exciting Ponzi scheme on the earth. Like, I'm doing this so I can, like, get everybody else involved, right? And do it for them. Anyway. So my going out on a limb here is the Buddha taught the third truth. He did not say, adjust to your suffering, and that's what Buddhism is about. And that's a Dharma rumor, and we hear it, and it helps to accept our suffering, to accept the situation. There are tools, but he did not say, just accept suffering and deal with it, honey. He did not say that. Okay. So then I talked about the 12 links of dependent origination here, because what he said was, we're not stuck fixed entities. We have the potential to transform, to experience this wellspring of inner joy, peace, contentment, and well-being. But to understand that, we have to really understand what causes our suffering. And like everything, he saw that what we learned in the second noble truth is that because of this, that, right? This is what cause and effect is. Because this came into being because my parents came into being and they met each other, I came into being. My parents had not come into being and met each other, I would not be who I am here now with you today. I mean, that's just how it is. So he says, if you look at this, it really lines up with science. There's always a cause. Right? We can look at these causes and conditions that come together to create everything. But then he said, if you want to see what creates our suffering, there's actually like a chain reaction of 12 different things that goes around in a circle. And like middle?
Oh. The red button.
Thank you.
The cat chaser.
That's ignorance. Like, wait. How does it work? What he said is, like all chains, where do chains, there is this cliche, chains break at
the weakest link,
right? So he said, there's a weak link, which is why we can get liberated. So what we have to understand is what all those 12 links are, how they work together, and then which one's the weak one, so we can break free from our chains. He used that word, fetters, our chains, and that's what happens, right?
Does everybody have a different weak one?
No, we can all have our own flavor, but he said the way our consciousness works, the way our mind works, the way our emotions work, at the fundamental level, just like if we're human, we all have lungs and we're breathing, the actual cause of our suffering isn't that ignorant mistake we all make. And if we see that in a particular way, we break free from our suffering. And at the fundamental level, like, so that's a really good way of putting it. Thank you. It's like, so what you're talking about is there's ways we all need to break free in different levels, which is very particular to us. Like, I may suffer from intense some inner self-criticism, that's something I need to break free of. These tools can help me do that. Then fundamentally, he called it the breaking things at the root. If we break this chain, this link, then it's like pulling out that one card in a house of cards and the whole thing falls down. It says that all of our fears, all of our anguish, all of our suffering, all of our heart, what else is there? Anger, difficulty with people, everything like that collapses. So we've taken care of all of that at once. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that was, he said, okay, I'm not going to pull any punches here. I'm going to tell you how it really is. If you want to totally end your suffering, all of it at once, you study this, you break this link, and you're set free, ultimately, and you're suffering. And then he said, but don't shortchange yourself. Everything else we're doing is he called it the blissful path to bliss, right? Because we just get happier and happier in our worldly lives. As a matter of fact, he said, this path fulfills both your needs, your worldly needs in your day-to-day life, and your ultimate spiritual needs. So by that, that was like a huge pep talk, right? And then it's like, where do I sign up? How do I do that? And so the fourth truth is building on this truth that we can awaken and can reach enlightenment or awakening. That question is how. So again, if we think about what is awakening, Elaine always quotes this beautiful description from Geshe Lodron, which is, gives us a taste of it. It's like it resonates, so we get a little glimpse. And it's that awakening is a mind which is filled with the greatest, most far-reaching love. It is completely free of ignorant hatred, ignorant attachment, and ignorance itself. It is fused with wisdom and compassion. It's an unstoppable wellspring of happiness, peace, and contentment. It's filled with boundless joy and no limitations to creating beneficial circumstances reflecting that joy. So creating beneficial circumstances, no limits to that, reflecting that joy means creating it not for ourselves, but for other people. Like, how do we create that for others? That's the cause of us feeling it ourselves. So again, he said it's possible, and then he gave us a path. He said, this is how, and that's the fourth truth. Like, what's going to bring about this this true stopping of our suffering? So he talked about it in different ways. And one, again, is bringing that as you practice this way, there'll be practices that grow your heart, and there are practices that grow your insight, your seeing directly into how things really are, your reality, your wisdom, so that you're no longer fighting with reality all the time. I want to do another meditation. I think we'll do another meditation, but do you want a glimpse of the path before next week? Just a little glimpse of the way we're going to do that.
Peek into the future.
Okay. It's what he calls ethical conduct, meditation, and wisdom. Those are the three broad categories. The fun part that we're going to work with in our daily lives is the Eightfold Path. Right view, right intentions, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right effort, right concentration, right mindfulness, okay? So that's your glimpse. Sometimes I don't like that, let me put it back this way. Sometimes I notice in myself, and you can turn that off now, a sense that if there's right, there's wrong, and it's judgmental, a little bit punitive, oh, I got it wrong today. The way I've been thinking about right, and we'll talk about this next time, is right meaning what works to bring you into alignment with your deepest yearning, your deepest longing. What is it that works to bring you into alignment with the end of your suffering in small ways and ultimately? So now we're going to do a meditation for the heart. We'll end on that. It's a meditation. It's called metta or loving kindness meditation. We'll do the first step. It's done towards three groups of people. We start out actually doing it towards ourselves, sending ourselves care, concern, and tenderness. It's about developing this feeling of warmth for oneself and others. So take posture that's stable. We've got about 12 minutes. One of the aims in this meditation is actually to feel good, to be able to soften our hearts towards ourselves. And begin to bring focus around the solar plexus, your heart area, your heart center. You may even just gently experiment with breathing in and out from the heart center, very, very gently. And the way that we do this is sort of breathing into any sense of contraction or hardening, fear, and then allowing it to just soften and melt a little bit more on the exhalation. Inhalation, begin to bring in and give yourself the gift of this sense of warmth, a nice, warm, loving feeling towards yourself. You don't have to have any words at this point, just that felt warm feeling we have when we love something. Breathing that into our solar plexus, heart area. And just noticing if there's any areas of blockage or numbness. And if you feel that jackal voice of self-judgment or self-rejection arising, see if you can drop beneath that to the place where we care for ourselves, where we actually want that strength and health and safety and love and connection for ourselves. Sometimes even just to connect with that can feel big and feel very healing. As you begin to breathe in, continue to breathe in and out. And begin to use these phrases. May I be free from inner and outer harm and danger. I'm feeling this wish for yourself to be free from inner and outer harm. Allowing yourself to open and accept these good, warm, loving wishes for yourself. From inner and outer harm and danger. May I be safe and protected. breathing in this wish for yourself to be safe. Really take in, what would it feel like to feel safe? How does it feel in my body when images arise, allowing that possibility and wish for myself to truly feel safe and protected? Suffering or distress. Wishing for yourself to be completely free from all negative thoughts, all self-critical, judgmental thoughts, all the ruminations that disturb your peace of mind. May I be free. Mental suffering and distress. Be free of all emotional suffering and distress. Wishing yourself to truly be free of all the emotional pain, the pain of old traumas, the pain of old wounds. Suffering, the emotional upheaval that might be happening in our lives now. The small hurts of everyday life. May I be free of all emotional suffering and distress. Be free of physical pain and suffering. Really sending yourself the wish to be free of any physical pain and suffering. Any small aches and pains, all the way up to any big illness that you're body of suffering. May I be free from this physical pain, from all physical pain and suffering. And as you take in the wish for yourself, actually begin on each one of these to see yourself as free of them. To see yourself completely free of these sufferings, pain, and distress. distress. Super sweet time to actually, as you wish this, images may come up for you in your own personal life of what that happiness would look like. May I be happy. Allow yourself to dare to really imagine yourself being happy. May I be healthy and strong. May I be able to live in this world happily, peacefully, joyously, with ease. Touch with that ember of warm, tender, loving kindness at the center of your being, allowing these phrases to wash over you, to be a conduit for the force of loving kindness towards yourself. May I be happy. May I be safe. May I be free from all suffering. May I be awake to my life. And then to shift it and send all that out before we end. May all beings in this world be happy and safe. May they be free from all suffering. May they be awake. And then releasing gently this meditation, allowing your awareness, first of all, to just know how you feel, just taking a moment to see how your body feels, how your mind feels, how your heart feels. So for those of you who like the crossover between science and Buddhism, that particular meditation, first towards ourselves and then towards others, increase base level sense of contentment and ease and decreased anxiety and depression. And it's been shown over and over again, not even taken out of any kind of Buddhist context, to have a huge impact on people's well-being. So I especially if you're having a time of conflict with someone, something that you can do for yourself, and then extend it to the other person, and you'll see that that conflict begins to soften. Right. I didn't start with prayer, so I'm not going to answer.
Just feels too lopsided. So let's just give away the goodness that we've done. And yeah, I had a homework. What was your homework? Oh, your homework. That's right.
Your homework was if you choose to accept the assignment. To just notice when you're suffering because of the things we talked about in your life, and if there's some way that you're shooting yourself with that second arrow, beating yourself up because of the suffering, or feeling like I should have been able to do better and control this, and that if you can just turn towards it with the phrase, like, it's like this now. This is a moment of suffering. See if that loosens it. So just to start... Again, these are tools to bring into your life. Have a wonderful week. See you, karma willing, next week.